take a, using your imagination, a imaginary pin, and that pin being you, put in a circle, tie a string on it, then draw a circle around that pin, okay? So you're at the center, there's this circle. Imagine that circle being what I would call your circle of care and concern. And inside that circle, put all the people that are inside your circle of care and concern. The people that you love the most. The people that are most significant to you in your life. The people that you would do anything for or you would grieve the most should they pass. Your circle. How many folks are in that circle? Now, kind of like throwing a stone into a pond and you get those concentric things going out. Take another step out. Is there another circle with another group of folks in it? How far do you have to go out until, you know, there are people that basically we just don't care for? Because they are outside of our circle of care and concern. Probably for most of us, within our circle of care and concern would be our spouse or our children or our grandchildren or our brothers and sisters, our parents, our next door neighbors, potentially members of this congregation. But you know, as I thought of that, I thought, you know, my circle isn't quite as big as I would probably want it to be. Overlay God's circle of care and concern on that. That variance, probably for most of us, is significant. I don't have any qualms. I mean, I certainly cannot compare myself, my circle of care and concern, to God's circle of care and concern. But what are we called to? As Christians, as men and women who have given our lives to Jesus, and as men and women who Jesus gave his life to us, what about that circle of care and concern? Now, in the Gospel here of Matthew, there's a transition. Jesus goes up to the mountain and he sits down. He takes the position of the teacher, no longer the prophet. And that's where in the beginning people were trying to figure out, was he the prophet? Who was he? Now he is clearly the teacher. Transition. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And probably many of you that were active in the church in the 70s after the council heard the term anawim, the poor. I mean, that is the Old Testament term that is used here. And the anawim were those who were bowed down by want, that were just broken down by want. Didn't necessarily say how they got there, to whose fault were they broken down. Why were they broken? It doesn't say. It's just that they were broken down. Because when they are the most broken down is when they know their greatest need for God. And the term anawim is those who have the deep want and need for God. They are the broken ones. They are the ones that, for many of us, probably myself included, are outside of my circle of care and concern. Because they are different than me. They look different than me. They come from a different land than I do. They worship a different God than I do. They speak a different language than I do. They're outside of my circle of care and concern. So why should I be concerned? Jesus sits down and he gives a PowerPoint slide. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. He says, here's the disposition of heart. The 23rd chapter of Matthew, he goes into the woe is you. Woe are you. Woe are you. And who's he talking to? The people with the very limited circle of care and concern. The scribes and the Pharisees. He says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you frauds. And then he hammers them. Because of their, in my interpretation for the purpose of today, very small circle of care and concern. It says you are whitewashed tombs, sepulchres that look beautiful on the outside but are filled with filth on the inside. Whoa. He really rattles their cage. Bang. And again, because of the disposition of the heart. Their limited circle of care and concern. Two chapters later, he says, he gives us clearly what does it look like in Matthew 25. So he starts out with these Beatitudes. Blessed are you, talking to the poor, talking to those that are outside the circle of care and concern, that are on the margins of society, that good, common, decent folk have nothing to do with. We often sanitize them. All those folks out there, he's calling them blessed. And the word blessed is not happy, like giddy, but is the joy and the peace that comes from needing God. That's what blessed is. So you are blessed. You are a joy, filled with joy and peace because of your great need for God. And all of these people that he's talking about, that are, and these are the folks that are on the margins of society, not just economics, but beyond that, because they know their need for God. That is that disposition of heart. Then he says, woe, you frauds, you hypocrites. Then two chapters later in Matthew 25, he separates the sheep and the goats. And it gives a scene of the last judgment when we come before the Lord and we all will and we will stand there and he will ask us, how large was your circle of care and concern? For I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, a refugee, and you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison, and you came to visit me. And the just will say, Lord, when did we feed you and see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty and give you to drink? When did we welcome you when you were away from home or visit you when you were sick and in prison? And said, whenever you do this to the least of the brothers and sisters, you do this for me. Outside of that circle of care and concern. So I think it's challenging, the gospel is challenging for us today. In 1914, there was a woman who lived in Vienna, Austria. She was an indentured servant. She was pregnant by her master. She was forced to leave Vienna. Come on a ship called the Kaiser Wilhelm II in July of 1914 to leave Austria, an enemy at that time, the Hungarian, German-Hungarian, whatever, enemy of the United States, shortly before World War I, to a man who was abusive, had nothing, came to this country and to Ellis Island, went to Chicago to meet this man, and that was my great-grandmother, a refugee with nothing, coming to this country. Don't know most of her story. The little bit that I shared with you was just put together by nips and buds because it was so filled with shame and failure and brokenness that she never wanted to talk about it. She died in her 90s, July of 1977. But without the brokenness that she experienced, the struggles, the pain of being an immigrant, I would not be here with you today. I don't know, gone through the ship's manifest, I've found some names that I recognize, but I don't even know what her maiden name was. But there were the Kraxners and the Hiblers and the Schultzes, and they were the immigrants of 1914. They were outside the circle of most people's circle of care and concern. They were enemies. They were Catholics, which at that time was not well accepted in this country. We are challenged to expand our circle of care and concern, probably now more than ever before. And it has nothing to do with politics, but it has everything to do with our call to be Christians. Where are we individually? Each one of us has to evaluate that. Who's in and who's out? And what does the gospel call us to? That is a profound challenge for me personally. And the only way that I can respond to it is even by looking back on my own history. And probably for most of us to look at our own histories as well. Because I think that if we peel the onion back far enough, we're going to find either ourselves or members of our family that were outside the circle of care and concern. That at some point, somehow, somebody reached out to and said, come, here. Come with us. Be with us. Come into our circle of care and concern. The greatest example of that, of course, is Jesus. That he invited me and he invited you into his circle of care and concern. And then gave us the challenge in the end of the Gospel of John. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. As I have done for you, you likewise go and do for others.